present that a little bit to all of us and actually ask us with our feedback and hear from us on the subject and create a little discussion that to do with helping with his book and his service this way. And we also wanted to speak to him a bit about his story and his memoirs and all of having associations. It is special to all of us. So thank you very much, Mark, for coming here and spending the time with you. We really appreciate it.
Thank you all for having me. Do I stay mad?
You can take it off.
I can take it off. Great. Well, I got started actually by hearing Srila Prabhupada's in large part, I got started by hearing Srila Prabhupada's first recording, his vinyl album, his so-called Happening album. I bought it at a record store in maybe 1967 or something like that. And so I used to listen to it. I didn't understand what it all was, but I used to chant Hare Krishna also. And I saw the address of the New York Temple, and one day I made my way there, and in fairly short order, joined up. And back then, that was the only recording we had, actually, pretty much the only recording. We used to play it in the storefront, and play it, and play it, and play it, and play it. And then flip it over and play the other side and play it and play it and play it. And that was our program. I joined actually after the earliest days. Prabhupada had his heart attack and gone back to India. And then I joined while he was away. And when he came back, about 2 months later, that's when I was initiated. Yeah, if I could get some water. Kirtan back then was very simple and also inept, but sincere. And at one time, Srila Prabhupada said, you don't need a professional, bring in a professional person to instruct you. And Brahmananda, I think you're the best mridanga player. So just carry on and teach the other. Brahmananda could, barely play it. And that was what was going on. The book got started, actually got started by a request. And when I was in Bombay, some of the devotees there asked me, a couple of the leaders, if I would do a seminar on kirtan standards. I said, oh. So I gave a seminar there that lasted 2 or 3 days. And then later I gave the same seminar, a little more refined, in Mayapur for the Mayapur Institute. And then later, one of my godbrothers, Tarak Kopi, asked me if I would turn it into a book. And so I said, yeah. And so I went through the recordings of the seminars and then filled in research from here and from there, and also got input from various devotees, mostly from my generation, down close. And so that's become like a first draft, I think. A first draft that pretty much says what I have in mind. What can I say? the whole business grew from a sense that there's a lot of stuff in kirtan that, how did it get there? You know, where did this come from? There's a line in a classic guide to writing that says writing improves in direct proportion to how much you can keep out of it that doesn't belong there. And I tend to look at kirtan the same way, that if it's simple and it's sweet and it's sincere and it's nicely done, then I'm in heaven. And when there's a lot of razzmatazz and where did this mantra come from and where did that mantra come from and why are they chanting this and why are they chanting that, then I start to become uncomfortable and sometimes downright lunatic. In the draft of the book, I tell a story that the Takamaj tells about the cat in the basket. Are you familiar with that story? Yeah? Anyone not familiar with the cat? Okay. There was a marriage ceremony, and during the marriage ceremony, some cat was broke in and was creating a ruckus. So someone found a basket and put the cat in the basket and put the lid on, and marriage proceeded successfully. And so then, one generation later, when the daughter of that couple was getting married, everything was in place and all the guests were there and the Purohits, and they're all chanting their mantras and everything's going on. And they said, wait a second, what about the cat in the basket? It's a family tradition, there's supposed to be a cat in the basket. So there's a lot of stuff these days in ISKCON Kirtan which didn't come from Prabhupada, which doesn't really come from Gaudiya Vaishnava tradition, but it comes from, well, this is how we've always done it. When I was bhakta, this is what we did, this is what I've always heard. And if you try and trace it back, no one really knows how it started. So there's a lot of that. And there are many, many instructions from Srila Prabhupada that are simply unknown. People don't know that he said this or he said that. And then there are other instructions, they're kind of known, but we don't want to hear them. So the book got fairly large with just things that are... And then people get creative. That's another thing that happens. People get creative and start making up something, and then it catches on because it's cool, because it, you know, fits. It's everybody gets excited, and pretty soon it's what we've always done. So, you know, where does that go? And in fact, in the opening section, I quote from Kripamoya Prabhu, who my generation knows as our god brother, and your generation knows as Janaki's father. And who's a wonderful kirtan leader in the UK. And he said, you know, we may not think that we're important parts of the parampara. He said, but what we're doing now is being, will be copied. And one thing goes, you know, leads to the next, and things can get lost. So he said we have an important, although we may think that we're just insignificant, we have an important function to perform in terms of preserving kirtan and keeping it pure, keeping it intact. One more statement that I quote in the course of the book and which sort of forms a part of my bias, I guess, is a statement from Jamuna Devi, and I could look it up and quote it, but paraphrase, she says that the kirtan that, you know, the way I've all, the kirtan that got me, the kirtan for me, what's kirtan is that prayer, that supplication, Krishna, please engage me in your service. She said, rather than the sort of performance kirtan that we often hear these days. That was the substance of what she said. That, you know, the mantra can get lost in amidst technique and, amidst technique, and it becomes more a performance than calling out to Krishna to be engaged in Krishna consciousness. So those are some of the, what would you say, some of the markers in the book. I think that, well, I was talking with a few devotees. Gauravani Prabhu gave me the feedback that there's really a lot there in terms of rules and standards and so on. But we could use some encouragement also. You know, if it's all about rules, then it's like, okay, now I can't do this, I can't do that, I have to do this, I have to do it. You know, we can go like, you can fall off the port side, or you can fall off the starboard side. Too much of rules, or not enough of rules. So I'm interested in trying to see that there's a proper balance in that regard. And I'm also, you know, I'm in the interesting position of being a person who's not much of a kirtan leader and writing a book about kirtan. You know, if it were about editing, I think I could say, well, you know, this is what I did for like 7 hours a day for a couple of decades. But with kirtan, you know, it's not, I'm not really in the lead, I'm in the back. You know, I know what I like, and I like to join in the kirtan, but I'd rather see someone else lead. So I'm interested in getting feedback from people who do lead and people who do have, therefore, realizations about kirtan. This is what we're into, as it were. I tend to be into books, but there are devotees who are, you know, this is their, what really presses their buttons. This is where they really dive in and then serve, is in the realm of kirtan. That's, you know, like their life and soul. Editing is also part of kirtan, but it's a different kind of kirtan. So I'm interested in the realizations of devotees who are really doing a lot of kirtan, absorbed in kirtan, thinking about how to spread kirtan, and so on. So I don't know whether I'll have, like, perhaps a chapter of the book that includes thoughts and realizations along those lines, or perhaps stitching things together, taking different things different devotees have said, and making a narrative out of that, or perhaps some introductory, you know, perhaps it'll take the form of a component in the beginning that's more about encouragement and life, and then followed by, you can't do this, you can't do that, you have to do this, you have to do that. So that's sort of where things are now. I have a draft. I even thought this morning, well, maybe I should take the book and publish version 1.0 as a PDF or something like that, and send it around, and then do a more formal publication, 2.1. Anyway, these are the sort of, those are publishing decisions. Should I read a few things to give you a sort of a sense of the...
The other point I was thinking about is if you could just describe for us who are younger generation what kirtans were like during your time with Chopra.
Yeah, at 22nd Avenue. One of the things that stands out to me at 22nd Avenue, it's not directly about kirtan, but just as we have these fans and lights, they had, they didn't have a drop ceiling, but they had a low ceiling. And the lights were, what do you call those lights? Spotlights, but not track lights. I mean, you know, big bulbs this big that floodlights. In any case, pot lights. So these lights would be on in the storefront, and you're doing kirtan, and the place is like brawling in the summer.
Good for the winter.
That's tangential. The kirtan was very simple in the beginning. All cartels in Radunga, and some clappers, I guess you call them, a couple tambourines. And we chant the obeisances of Prabhupada, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, and Hare Krishna. And that was it. And basically, we were following what Prabhupada did. When Prabhupada came after I joined, he would lead kirtan Monday, Wednesday, and Friday evenings and give class. Actually, what would happen is we would lead a kirtan, and then Prabhupada would come down from his apartment, and then he would lead kirtan. And then he would give class, and then we would have a second kirtan. And Prabhupada's kirtans were, would start with great depth and meditation and slow. He would chant the entire Mangalacharna prayers. And then he would chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Mangalacharna. Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutapada Kamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Cha Sri Rupam Chagrakasham Sadhana Raganatam Ditam Tam Sivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Krishna Sahitam Krishna Chaitam Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamsa. And Prabhupada would continue. Jayatam Sudhato Pangor Mama Manda Ergati Sarvesha Padam Bhogo Shata Madana Mohano Vivyad Vindana, and so on, all the way up to Shri Radharani and Krishna. And then he would chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya a couple times and Hare Krishna. And he wouldn't chant it the way I just chanted it. He would sing Mangalacharna and then leave mantra. And the kirtan would be very slow. In fact, you can hear some kirtan, Prabhupada's chanting, very slowly. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And you hear the karkal players going. And then you hear Prabhupada's karkals. So he would begin slowly and meditatively, and then gradually he would speed up. I hear a lot in ISKCON sort of there's like a slow part and a fast part. But Prabhupada, he would just gradually build up. And it would build up to quite a pace. And devotees would be jumping up and down and dancing. And of course, Brahmananda recounts that he thought it was the rule that once you stood up and started dancing, you couldn't sit down again. So when they were chanting in the park for an hour, you know, once you stood up, the rest of the hour, you were up. But in Prabhupada's presence, of course, the kirtan was just powerful. And you would hear, like one thing I'm not really fond of is the japa kum kirtan machine with the 30-second kirtan sample that keeps cycling. Because you miss that when Prabhupada's chanting kirtan, every mantra is different. Every time he chants, there's like new feeling, new realization, new Krishna present in a different way. So when you get the 30-second cycle, you don't quite get that. That is to say, you don't get it at all. Just another one of those things. Grouchy old man. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parikadha Katarja. So you just end, you know. And that's how it would end. You would chant the same 20 prayers and you would say Hare Krishna. And then Prabhupada would speak. And kirtan, and then he would always have the prasanna. It would have to be for some. Could be cut up apples or something, but there had to be produced. If no prasadam was like, no, that's not it. You can't do that. So that's how it would end. Prabhupada would just end with the Hare Krishna mantra and chant the 21st. And everybody would be in ecstasy. The kirtan would be open your way to another world. And as Prabhupada said, it comes, descends directly from the spiritual platform. So I feel that when Prabhupada is chanting, it felt like it descended from the spiritual platform. And the engagement of our engagement in the kirtan was really to enter into the sound. That's what we were trying to do, to absorb ourselves in the sound of the kirtan. And the mood of the kirtan, you know, what Prabhupada was projecting, I guess you could say, of Krishna consciousness, to enter that mood of Krishna consciousness. We were all neophytes, we didn't know what was what, but that's what we were trying to do, and that's how things grew. Yeah. Yes. I'm for it. Pro.
Yeah. But like more of the idea of what is important to you for us to have in kirtan. If you're writing a section of this is what we do every time, like nectar of instruction, nectar of devotion, there's like the only reason I know anything is because I've read that a few times. Mm. So if you're trying to do kirtan, you're like, okay, what is important to say before, what's important to say after to help us like negate mistakes and stuff like that.
Mm. Well, the first things to do, and they're pretty well known, but we always begin by offering our respects. There's Kirtan begins by offering respects. Generally, respects are, the tradition is you offer respect to your spiritual master before you begin Kirtan. Now, for historical reasons in ISKCON, we don't do that in our collective temple gatherings. And I won't go into that history. But, and therefore our practice in ISKCON is that we begin by offering respects to Prabhupada, or alternatively to the spiritual master, Bandeham, Sri Yuga, Sri Yuga, and so on. And then it goes to Parampara. So either that or offering respects to Prabhupada. But it begins with offering respects. But we, you know, who are we to be chanting Hare Krishna? And that's everywhere. In the Bhagavatam, before Sukadeva Goswami speaks, first he's offering respects to his guru. When Kaviraj Goswami is writing Chaitanya Charitamrita, first he's offering respects to his initiating spiritual master, his instructing spiritual masters, to the personality of Godhead, the Goswamis, and so on. So that's our Vaishnava tradition, that we don't just walk in the door and say, here I am, but we're here by the grace of our superiors. And so we offer them our respects. Even in, you know, like, what is it, Oriental wrestling contests and stuff like that, you know, they all begin by offering respects to their teachers and so on. So it's not something so terribly unusual. But this is our culture, that first we offer respects. Then Srila Prabhupada instructed us that we should chant the Panchatattva Mantra. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shiva Shadi Gaurabhachana. And there's a section in Chaitanya Charitamrita where numerous times says that we should do this. And in fact, when in an early kirtan I attended, some devotees were chanting a mantra that they'd heard. They'd read it in purport, Srimad Bhagavatam. And so they were chanting it in the kirtan, the first kirtan that we would have, you know, before Prabhupada would come down. One of my godbrothers was leading, and he had a really cool little instrument that it's a stringed instrument. And it was sweet, and Rodi was totally into it. It was like, we were into this. And the mantra was, Sri Krishna Govinda Hare Murare E Nata Narayana Vasudeva. And then Prabhupada came down, and we all offered obeisances. He walked through the side door of the storefront in his apartment and sat on his dais, and he said, "What is that? Krishna? Govinda?" And someone said, "That's not bona fide Prabhupada." Prabhupada said, "That is chanted by the Mayavadis." We should chant what's chanted by the Acharyas. He said, "Sri Krishna Chaitanya, you can chant." And nobody really knew how to do it, as kirtan. Just, you know, you offered your obeisances once, and as response to kirtan, no one knew how to do it. Sansa-dita, he said, no one knew. So then Prabhupada called for the drum, and he led chanting of Sri Krishna Chaitanya. And it was like, the storefront had wings and everything. So that was the next thing. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. And then Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Mahamaha. And at the end, this Jai Om Vishnu Pad, Paramahamsa, Jai Jai. Those were our standard components. In one purport, Prabhupada recommends that we chant, that we add. He said, we're accustomed to chanting these two mantras. He said, now this can also be added, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chanted, Haraye Namah Krishna Yadavaya Namah Gopal Govindaram Sri Madhusudan. He said, so these two lines can be added, especially in Sridhar Mahaprabhu's. By the way, that's two lines. We hear a lot in Kirtan, Hari Haraye Namah Krishna Yadavaya Namah Yadavaya Madhavaya, and maybe another couple verses. That's from a very bona fide song by Narottam Das Thakur, but it's not what Prabhupada asked us to chant. But these instructions sort of get second hand, third hand, and by the time they're 10th hand, the zebra has turned into a giraffe. So those were the essential components, and in fact there's a part of the book where I quote paper from Paritesh Swami that he wrote for the BBC when he was a member, giving instructions that he'd received from Srila Prabhupada when he was temple president of Vrindavan. He said Prabhupada was keen on establishing standards. The temple had just started, and he wanted to establish the deity worship standards, the cooking standards, the kirtan standards, and so on. So he gave this direction. He said, in the morning, the guru song, which is meant samsara dava, the guru song, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Hare Krishna, nothing else. And in the evening, Gaur Aarti, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Hare Krishna, nothing else. That's what. And in the morning, he said the morning tune only should be chanted. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. That's the morning tune. Prabhupada said morning tune only. And I've cited some instances where Srila Prabhupada has stopped the kirtan and sent an assistant down to the temple to stop them from chanting anything else in the morning. So those are some basics. Yeah, does that answer? In terms of things that, what are some of the drive you up the wall things? Okay. Let's think of some. Yes?
Can I ask a question?
Sure.
I just started browsing the book a little bit. There's a point where you mentioned a story that had been Srila Prabhupada and the devotees have been doing kirtan. I think it might have been a story that someone said afterwards. That was very enjoyable.
Yes. Yes.
So you are going to be happy when you hear it.
I hope so. How do you reconcile this? That was an interesting quote that I came upon. Pradyumna Prabhu, Panditji, our Sanskrit scholar, told that story. The incident happened when he was a young devotee in Montreal before he'd come down to the States. There was a kirtan going on, which was like a sort of blissful kirtan, really wonderful kirtan. And one of my godbrothers, as they were walking down the stairs, the Prabhupada said to the Prabhupada that kirtan was so enjoyable. And Prabhupada at once said, kirtan is not for your enjoyment. It's for Krishna's enjoyment. So then, well, what about our happiness? What about chant Hare Krishna and be happy? And it's interesting, Pradyumna put that, told that incident in the context of discussing something. He said that kirtan and deity worship and so on are what we call bhakti angas. They're limbs of bhakti. So he made the point that all of these limbs rest on sambandha gyan, knowledge of who we are in relationship to Krishna. And if they don't rest on that, then he said we can question whether it's bhakti. There's another section that I quote where I have a sort of an appendix actually of discussion where Prabhupada is talking about kirtan. Devotees says basically in the beginning you encourage us all just to chant and not to worry about anything else, just chant Hare Krishna and that's everything. So we're trying to do that, getting people to chant. And there was a context, but that's sort of the idea. Prabhupada said yes. He said, but they must come to the process. They must come to the process. What does that mean? It means they should be start following the principles of devotional service, things, you know, you have four rules. They should take initiation. They should, do the things, nectar devotion. We should do those things. We should come to the process. Some fun began. And then abhideya, activities in relationship to Krishna. So that sort of ties back to what Jamuna Devi said, that kirtan is a supplication to Krishna. Please, I've fallen in this material world. Please pick me up and fix me as an atom of your lotus feet. Please engage me in this. And when we chant with that mood, then we experience ecstasy, genuine ecstasy. And if we're doing something else, it doesn't have the same effect. If it's just a performance, or if it's just something earning a livelihood, or it's kind of, we're really into it, this is what we do, but we're really not into all this other stuff, like four regular principles, what we call the process, but we're just into kirtan, then it will remain, and Prabhupada said, not only remain, he said, otherwise, he said, it will gradually become nanapada. In the beginning, yeah, just chant Hare Krishna, and then you take the process, and it becomes prema bhakti. But if we just chant Hare Krishna and go on chanting Hare Krishna, but we don't come to the process, it can become nanapada. Using Krishna's name in our service so that we'll feel happy or so that we'll get some money or so that everyone will look at us and say, wow. Yeah, nice kirtan. Verse 4, the girls will... Whatever. Yes.
Agreed, Mark. As a kirtan, maybe organizer, you could say, I run into this issue of quote-unquote vetting kirtan.
Of?
Vetting.
Vetting kirtan.
Vetting, yes.
And it becomes an issue in terms of how qualified the person. I'm very curious, because you don't speak about it so much in your book. It's in quote-unquote Prabhupada's quote about lips of a serpent touching the milk and contaminating it, but yet many of us feel like we're not qualified to judge other devotees. So where does that point in? Maybe there's a discussion that we can talk about, because I don't know if there's a black and white answer.
Yeah, it's a very interesting discussion, and it's not all black and white. How do we, if we're a kirtan organizer and we're vetting who's going to be leading the kirtan, What's,
how important is the leader themselves if they're following the rules?
How important is it that the leader be following the rules and so on? These are questions that the organizers will want to think about. And what I tried to do in the book, and which is maybe why you don't see a lot about that, I've tried as much as I can to have it rest on instructions that Prabhupada gave, rather than, you know, here's what ticks me off about kirtan, and here's what I really like, and here's what I wish they wouldn't do, and this is my favorite way of doing it. I try to keep it to, here's what Prabhupada said, and you can tell what my biases are, because you can see what I talk about more, and where I get more sarcastic. But I've really tried to serve Prabhupada's instructions rather than, you know, just use them as a horse to ride on to get my instruction, my ideas out there. And he didn't give a lot of instructions that I saw about which devotees to lead kirtan or, you know, getting or anything like that. There's one place where he wrote a letter to, I believe it was Hamsa Bhutakavu, and he was talking about the kirtan party. They should have this many kartals and this many mudangas, and they should have a dancer out front. And the most important thing is that all the members of the kirtan party should be pure devotees. There's another place where Prabhupada talks about the same thing, and he says essentially that, and again, I'm really paraphrasing now because I don't remember the exact quote, but he says basically that's where the potency is. It's the purity of the devotees that impresses people. It's not our professionalism. It's not our musicianship. It's the purity of the devotees. That's the thing. There was a famous incident. There was a kirtan competition arranged in Mayapur one year, and kirtaniyas from all over were invited to take part, from ISKCON, from outside. The idea was to sort of involve the local people, you know, the local Bengal kirtan scene. And Prabhupada was staying in the Lotus Building at that time, in his quarters, somewhat indisposed, because this, I think, was 1977 already. And these people were like so slick. I mean, and they would be graded for their mudanga playing, for their cultural playing, for their dancing, for their dress, for, you know, points. There was a cash reward, I think, for the winner. And they were so good. And first of all, you know, the yellow and the green and the blue and all of that, and the dancing. And these people, you know, their mudanga playing could, you know, put all the ISKCON mudanga players underground. They were just so good. And the kartals and the whole thing. And then, you know, Krishna. And Prabhupada sent word down from the Lotus Building to turn off the amplifiers. First, I think it was a few times, yeah, turn it down. He said, they're simply chanting for money. There's some good chanting for money. So all the members of the kirtan party should be pure devotees. Now, what does that mean? You know, they should be paramhansas, they should be uttamadikaris. From other letters, pure devotees means they should be sincerely following the process. They should be sincerely following the process. That's what I understand to be pure devotees in that context. Sometimes we want to invite people who are, you know, we know they're not following. We know they're not doing any of these things. We know they're breaking all the rules, but we just want to get them to chant. So we may invite them, please, you know, take the microphone and chant something. You know, somebody comes to the temple, he's got his hair down to his knees, but he's, you know, he's dancing in the kirtan, so we put a microphone in front of him and say, you know, chant. So we understand that. But in terms of who should be leading kirtan, who should be... who should be leading the community and chanting the holy name, you know, the Sankirtan, it's a community of people who come together to chant and glorify Krishna. Who should be leading that? Person should be a pure devotee. That would be my understanding, drawing on what Prabhupada said. Which means to me, they should be following the regular principles and following the process. If you were to ask me, I love kirtan, led by the local people. You know, I see sometimes, I go to some place, local devotees are lovely kirtaniyas, and they've flown in, you know, big names from across the seas, or, you know. And some of those big names, I know, they're not following. They're not, you know, they're not seriously following even the basic principles that we expect someone to follow to live in a Hare Krishna temple or to take initiation. But they, you know, they lead a great kirtan. I would rather see the local devotees just sit down and chant together than to see, you know, that other approach. So those were some thoughts, and as you said, it's not black and white. I hope that helps. Oh, yeah. Well, let's see what some of them are. Stuff that gets added to keep, it's the Jai Sampradaya, I guess, is what drives me nuts. What is the Jaya Sampradaya? It's where there have to be jayas all over the place. One that drives me nuts, in Mayapur, it started in Mayapur after the installation of Panchatattva deities, and it's spread all over ISKCON now. Jaya Pancha Tattva, Jaya Pancha Tattva, Jaya Pancha Tattva, Jaya Pancha Tattva. Not chanted ever by Srila Prabhupada. And we already have a Panchatattva mantra. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vajadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Prabhupada said we should chant all the names of the members of the Panchatattva. He gave us the mantra, he chanted it. That's what, as far as I understand, we're supposed to do. But then we chant this new thing, which has no backing from the Sampradaya. It's just something we do. Which leads to another point, and then I'll backtrack from that to a sort of larger grouch. Our mantras, our kirtan, has effect, has potency, has integrity, when it's descending. The mantras descend through the parampara system and we receive the mantras. Sampradaya vihina ye mantra stay nishpalamata. If we don't receive the mantra from the sampradaya, it will have no effect. Nishpala. So we chant, as Prabhupada many times says, authorized mantras. Mantras you see through the disciplic succession. So when I hear things that weren't received that way, I get uncomfortable. Sri Krishna Govinda Hare Murari being there's lots more. Things that we pick up in Vrindavan, things that we hear from popular bhajan singers. There's one I was in Bhaktivedanta Manor, and we were doing a little program at someone's house, and they said, you leave kirtan, and there was someone there who was kind of a good kirtani. I said, let him lead. So he began leading. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Bolo. Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala. No connection whatsoever to Dark Sampradaya. It's a popular cinema bhajan. So, you know, what are you doing? We're supposed to be postal peons, Prabhupada said. You know, we receive the message and then we deliver the message. Where did you get this? If you didn't get it from the Sampradaya, it's useless, and why are you delivering it? And that you're delivering that means you're not delivering the other thing. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So, that's our function, just to receive and pass on. So this Panchatattva Nueva Mantra, the new Panchatattva Mantra, it doesn't have that. It didn't come from Bhaktivinoda Thakur to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur to Srila Prabhupada. They made it up in Mayapur after they saw the deities. Well, we got to chant. And why did they make it up? Well, because we're all into chanting Jaya Deity, Jaya Deity. You cannot end the kirtan without chanting the names of the deities, right? I mean, that's what we do. After you finish chanting Hare Krishna, then depending on who's on your altar, you start chanting their names, right? Jaya Gora Nitai, Jaya Radha, whoever, whoever. Hare. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Jaya, and so on. Jaya Sita Ram, Lakshman Hanuman. None of this came from Prabhupada. He didn't do it. He didn't teach us to do it. It just wasn't part of the kirtan. Now, in fairness, the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Jai, Punyakirti Prabhu. Punya Shravana Kirtan. In fairness, my godbrother Shrutadev wrote to Srila Prabhupada and asked, because there's a song, you know, Radha Krishna, Kirti. In which the pattern is there of chanting the names of the deities and Sanatana Prandanahe, Deepo Prandanahe, so on. So it was there, and he asked Prabhupada, can we chant Jai Radha Vandanisha, Prabhupada Prandanahe? And Prabhupada said, yes, you have my permission. So permission is there, but now it's become de rigueur. You've got to chant the names of the deities. But you don't got it. In fact, I had someone, you know, criticize part of this course I gave in Mayapur. You know, we're personalists. So we chant the names of the deities always. But Prabhupada was a personalist and he didn't. And then because we're personalists, and now we're chanting the names of our deities, it leads, one thing leads to another. So, Jai Radha Shyam Sundar Radhe leads to Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe, Jai Radhe. Prabhupada explicitly said, do not chant Jai Radhe. I mean, not that you can't utter the name of Radha, but he didn't want that as part of the kirtan. And he blasted Hare Krishna specifically for it. But, you know, and then it becomes Jai Radhe, and then Jai Sri Radhe, that's the latest, you know, I don't want to use the word mutation, embellishment, thank you. So, you know, these things get added on. And then you hear things like, it gets a little nutty. And I run down some of the specimens from my collection. We have deities in the Middle East. They're called Sri Sri Radha Krishna. So then the devotees there are chanting Jai Radha Radha Krishna. Yeah. I've heard, because they have Ladu Gopal on the altar somewhere, Radha Ladu Gopal.
Hare
Yeah. Everything's there in the Maha Mantra. All the deities are glorified. Everything's there. Yes.
I guess the question comes is, why is any of this a problem? Like, I understand how light, or not how light, how it isn't exactly, if you want fast track back home, back to Godhead, chant the Panchatattva Maha Mantra, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and do that for as many hours a day as possible.
Right.
But then, if, and let's take the argument seriously that this has become a mode of presentation or entertainment for society, for our society, specifically for younger generation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that such a problem, I guess, would be the question? Like, if you ask the all-important question, compared to life, you know, if you make this relative, how big of a problem is this on a problem scale? Or is it a problem? In the sense that, is it a problem? Like, is this going to be a detriment to your Krishna consciousness, which we'll call a problem? Or is it kind of a lot of fluffy nonsense that, you know, people like it and it feels good? It's not going to drag you away from Krishna consciousness. It's just you're not fast tracking. You know, kind of where should we grade it, this?
Anyone want to give some input on that? Or amplify it?
I would like to add something. In terms of Prabhupada coming to America, it was a big step in how he innovated Krishna consciousness and how he presented it. And I feel like we are at that doorstep of the next generation and presenting Krishna consciousness. We're not going out to the hippies anymore. We're going out in front of people who are accustomed to, like, professional music. In India or in America or wherever. So a little bit of musical innovation, perhaps a new instrument, perhaps a mantra that the audience can relate to kind of bring them to Krishna, to Hare Krishna mantra. You know, I feel like that piece, you know, how, I guess, from my standpoint, individually, I think that's, you know, that's actually necessary, to be honest with you. You know, not just that it's not the general, it's actually necessary.
Good.
I would like some thoughts from
you. Okay. You want to add something?
Yeah. So, I'm like a big Indian.
Sorry?
I'm like a big Indian as a, from the ancestor and from the roots. So, like, what I feel from ISKCON or anything, like, music is just a way to connect with God, right? It just neutralizes everybody at the same platform. And when somebody is not and the organizer thinks it's just like the positiveness, all the negativeness will go away and bring everybody in the same platform. So that's, I'm like, I don't think so there is any problem, like, if we're not doing in a certain way. But the matter is that your conscious and subconscious mind just connect to the God. That's how it's really important.
The important thing is that we connect to God through the music.
Not music, even doing by yourself, like chanting.
By chanting. Yeah.
That is more important, right?
Yeah, that is the essence of kirtan. You should feel presence of God, of Krishna.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes.
The focus of your book is specifically ISKCON temple kirtan status.
Yeah.
What we do at temple is at an official ISKCON ceremony.
Yeah.
We're not trying to dog on people who are doing bhajan at home on their own
street. Yeah, that's the point. Why don't I start with that? That Manuram's brought up that the kirtan standard book, because of how it got started, is largely about what do we do when we gather in the temple, when we're before the deities, and so on. What you might do at home might be different, and what you might do in a public forum might be different. And it becomes an interesting topic for discussion, to what extent when we're doing something in public, you know, or to attract the public, do we bend a little bit. And there is evidence that Prabhupada did. For example, he didn't want too many instruments. You know, in the temple kirtan, he said, kol kartal. you know, starts all in Redundant. But then when devotees wanted, he himself recommended that for some public program there could be tambura. And someone asked, can we play guitar? And Prabhupada said, yes. So there's, I would say, more latitude that Prabhupada gave in those kinds of venues. Now, coming back to your original question, is it a problem? You know, if we get together and, you know, certainly it's better than going to a local beer joint and, you know, whatever it is. I mean, we're doing kirtan, we're chanting Hare Krishna. People come together who might not otherwise come together, and everyone chants the holy name. So if it's not, you know, exactly as per the rules that we might find in the book, so what? Is that a problem? Yeah, is that?
Yes, that would be
a fair statement of it. I think the issue is this. In the, is that an authorized mantra? In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, evam parampara praptam imam rajarshi mukhidam. This knowledge was coming down and from Vibhishan to Manu to Shaku, and it came down in parampara to the, in succession to the saintly king. Sakalaneha mahata yoga nashtapam. That over a period of time, it was lost. That's the problem. That it starts off to be this, and then we add something from here, and we add something from there, and this kind of gives a little spice, and this gets people going, and people are familiar with this, and people in this scene chant this mantra, and so we can lead them from this mantra to that mantra, and this kind of gets, in our experience, gets people going, and that is, sounds good, and this fits with the pattern, and so on. And pretty soon, over time, sooner or later, it's not the original thing anymore. Something else. It's like milk. You start off with milk and you add a little water and you add a little rose water and you add a little something and something and something, and after a while it's not milk anymore. Or even like I'm taking milk from other parts of people's cows these days. Is it a problem that what you get in a supermarket is nothing like that milk? Maybe that's a problem. You know, is it a problem that we gave up milking them by hand and now we milk them all by machine? Is it a problem that we inject them with this hormone and that growth hormone and this hormone and that hormone? Is it a problem that we crowd them together? Is it a problem that we kill them? It's milk. But maybe it's not the original idea. So that would be my concern with kirtan, and that you start with something that's sublime and exalted and powerful and pure and meant to bring about a certain effect in the heart of the lost living beings, and it comes to be entertainment and or just, you know, a sort of tree of mantras from here and there, and then we all sort of feel good, and then we go.
In your book, you mentioned that all of this other fluff that gets added takes away from the little time that we have for the Maha Mantra.
Yeah.
Like in your typical arti, you have maybe 10 minutes for the Maha Mantra after you've chanted for arti prayers. You know?
Yeah.
And then you've got to add this, you've got to add that, you've got to add that, and you can only really, you know, chant 5 Maha Mantras every minute.
Yes.
Someone may feel, okay, my parampara
Kirtan, whereas when I hear how does the Kirtan from them, they sing the names to their deities.
Mm-hmm.
It's after their heart is, after their mind is focusing on the verification. The mm-hmm. organ of Kirtan, well, that is karma because I'm going to the spiritual aspect.
As I was going around, as I was working on the book, I tried to take account of that, that the book gives my understanding of what Srila Prabhupada instructed. I tried to uphold that with direct quotations or testimony from people who, you know, saw Prabhupada or heard Prabhupada given instruction, and I presented it to the best of, you know, what I think is as faithfully as I can. But I've suggested that one chant Hare Krishna under the guidance of one spiritual master. So I can't claim that I'm the final authority on kirtan. And if you're not going by the way I believe you should do it, then you're just off, friend. But, you know, there's not much I can do for you because, you know. You know, there are exalted devotees in this movement who have different realizations and who may do something in a different way than I would, or who perhaps would do things, like they do things that I think, look. You know, and these are all the people I most admire, my favorite kirtan leaders, my dearest godbrothers. You know, they all do one or another or, you know, of these things that I, you know. So your point is valid that we have to, you know, I'm basically arguing that we should follow our founder Acharya. So I'm not here to argue, well, you follow him, but don't follow your guru. We have access to the founder of charge of Cuba, our gurus. So yes. Of course, I'm optimistically hoping that many of my Guru Graha brothers will read the book. And, yes. I'll just take off the mask and let's hear what you have to say.
I was wondering if you also touch upon kirtan outside the temple.
Do I also touch on kirtan outside the temple? I do. Fairly briefly, because, the amount of stuff Prabhupada said about it wasn't as much. But I do. And as I mentioned, I think Srila Prabhupada gave more latitude. And devotees, what should I say? Being trained and informed and knowing what the standards are and so on, then they have to use their discretion. What do I do in this venue? I want to reach out to people. I want to bring them in. I want them to hear and chant. I want them to become devotees. So what do I do? And I think it would be wrong of me to sit in my office and give orders about what they should do when they're, you know, at Carnegie Hall or you know, at a festival with 50,000 people, you know, but page 54. you know, we have to recognize, you know, in fact, this is like the commander in the field. You know, the generals get together and they make a strategy and there's a plan and there's, you know, this is going to happen and this is going to happen and this is going to happen and we're going to do this and do that and these people will follow, you know, this unit will follow that unit. But once the troops land, it's up to the commanders in the field. They're the ones who have to say, you know, scrap that. We're doing this. Because they just, you know, threw 20 armed tanks at us, or whatever it is. You know, the battlefield conditions are always changing, so the commanders in the field have to use their intelligence and discretion, and they know what their orders are, and they know what they're trying to achieve. and they've read the, you know, the field manual and all of that, but they're on the ground. So we do have to allow space for people who are, you know, on the front, who are out there spreading the Holy Name, who are not just looking at a rule book, but who are reaching out to people and earnestly trying to engage them in Krishna consciousness. And I wouldn't want to stifle that or you know, throw cold water on that fire. That's very important. But those people should know what the standards are. And they should be aware of the downside of innovating or bending or assimilating. You know, this is what this Kirtaniya, who's, you know, sometimes a Krishna chanter and sometimes a Shiva chanter and sometimes a Ganesh chanter. If he chants this, then it's very popular. So if we chant it, there's a downside to that. And again, I'm not going to make the call because I'm not on the stage. But at least those who are doing it would benefit from knowing, from having these issues in mind. What risks am I introducing? What could we lose? Should I be compromising, and if so, to what extent? What is my role here? Am I representing a sampradaya, or am I in some other role? What did Prabhupada do? There's a test. My godbrother Guru Granga has a thought experiment that he applies to major decisions, or even less than major decisions. If I were in Prabhupada's room trying to explain this decision, what would I say? Yes.
Just a question between the preaching and the outreach, and then the temple, there's like kirtan festivals.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like those are mostly in-house.
Mm-hmm.
These are mostly devotees.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so, would you have anything?
Yeah, that's
that, because it's a little more gray.
The third area. It's not exactly in front of the temple and the deities, and it's not really outreach in the sense of people who are not part of a devotional community, but we sort of want to, you know, we know that not everyone is super, you know, we want to get everyone into the chanting of the Holy Name and build on that and inspire people with that, and maybe uplift some people who could benefit from some uplifting, including ourselves. Yeah, Kirtan at Shiva Sangam rather than in the temple itself. Yes, you can, and again, I'm not the person to pronounce. You know, I don't want to be the person who says, well, here, you know, at these places, this is what you do. But I think the book provides enough stuff from Srila Prabhupada, enough instruction, enough guidance, enough, or a fair amount of what his mood was, what his concerns were, that the organizers and participants in Kirtan Melas and Mellows and Melas and 24-hour and 48-hour and so on events can take into account. And that's, yes, very much. My email address is jaswami@gmail.com. jaswami@gmail.com. Okay, so if you have thoughts or experiences or input that you'd like to send me, please send it right along. Don't hesitate. and I'll try to be nice to you.
Just one last question.
Yes.
My question is about how principles are carried on, and what we see in our movement is, I also read the draft, and what was interesting to me is that many of these quotes that we have from Philip Rockwood, Philip Rockwood said, we should do it like this. So then I thought, well, here we are, years later, still doing the same thing. What he said in the 70s, that we should do it this way. So I was thinking, what was happening all this time? And what came to me is, it's Sangha. You go to the temple, and what you hear, you do. I'm 28. Ever since I can remember, it was Jai Radha Shyam Sundar. So I feel like an important principle is, who do the young people get to associate with on a regular basis, who is willing to sit down and encourage and teach and say, here are the principles that we should follow by. It's an amazing, incredible thing that you had Srila Prabhupada with you. All his quotes are Srila Prabhupada sitting personally with you and saying, do it like this. And these young people also do the same thing. And I remember many years ago when a paper came from the GBC saying you can't chant Radha in the temple anymore. And many of the devotees were very disappointed. I'm not going to say whether, you know, about the principle and everything, but the point was that there was no personal connection. It just came out of the sky, don't do it. And everybody felt very disappointed. So I feel like it's an important principle that we should consider. Who is going to do that, like you're doing here? Because I'm doing kirtan with my friends all the time. Mm-hmm. So who's going to come also in that consistent way and say, let me to associate with the younger devotees? And is there scope for that that you've considered in your writing and in your consideration of the continuation of the authentic principles in the future?
Thank you so much for that. They're really great points. I think Jai Sri Radha Sham Sundar Ki Jai, Jai Sri Radha Sham Sundar Ki Jai, Jai Sri Radha Sham Sundar Ki Jai. I think your concerns are why I haven't just published the book. You know, why I'm seeking more input and more involvement, especially from your generation. And so that it's not just coming out of this, you know, my part of the sky, but that it takes your concerns and your thoughts and your realizations into account. Yeah, he said that. He said, you know, we're going to get more of that from different thoughts. So yes, I think this is where we stop and start kirtan, right? Okay. Thank you so much.